don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again. The Blue Testament crew here for another Shades of Blue soccer show. My name is Cody Bradley, and I have here with me tonight Bella.
Allie Trost.
And that is it. No Bob. Just us.
Short staffed.
We got our A squad here tonight.
Say, what about Bob?
Oh, that
was... Yeah. Do I need to record one of those as well? We were recording audio bites as we were preparing for the show this evening.
Very good.
So you will be hearing...
Known as Cody secretly recording people talking.
Exactly.
He doesn't let us know. He'll like throw out some statement and then like, what's that? And I go off on a little tangent and then he'll be like, aha, I'm going to clip that and save it in my library.
You guys don't know it, but Allie's best work comes in like 1 second clips.
Oh my God. What can I say? I'm a woman of many words.
Okay. So, I won't steal your joke earlier, Thad, but we do have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Oh, so much.
Thad sat down and gave like a terrible like dad joke and was like, oh, guess we don't have a lot to talk about tonight. But it was good. I laughed.
And it wasn't that terrible.
It was like partial courtesy laugh, but I did laugh. But yes, we have a lot to talk about.
He laughed heartily.
Christian Namath.
Woohoo!
The number nine.
And then I guess comment below. Do listeners know the song? Is it called Number Nine?
It
by
be,
the Beatles?
Revolution Number Nine.
Oh. Okay. Well, we didn't know
it. I like the Beatles
it.
And I didn't, and we didn't know that song.
It's not their most famous song.
Thad wanted to get rid of our famous intro and play a Beatles song, but it wasn't my cup of tea.
It's nobody's
cup
of tea.
It sounds very like haunted. It's like if you were going to get hypnotized, it's like that song is playing in the background.
It does. It sounds like they were on a lot of drugs, because I think they were.
John Lennon, Yoko Ono, they were. They definitely were.
We'll link it. I'll link the YouTube to that song if you must listen to it. But yes, Christian Namath, $350,000 in Garber bucks and a draft pick. The man you've all been waiting for, right?
Well, a lot of them have.
The legendary DP, the number nine we've been... No, I can't do it.
Why not?
What, you're not sold on it or what?
I'm excited about this move. I don't mean to like hate on it, really. I like that he's back. I think he can rejuvenate a bit of his form. I doubt he'll be that good again, but I do like it.
Yeah, I think that's what will be hard, especially for fans. It's like he had this amazing stint in Kansas City in 2015. He could not have been probably, I don't know if he'll ever peak like that again in his career, but it's like that's the bar. That's where the bar was set. And so I think it's...
That's how sporting fans are. Like,
no, I know. And that's what I'm saying. It's like that's the expectation. And like the second he doesn't perform up to that, I feel like most people won't understand. But yeah. I will say silver lining, or not silver lining, but I think a big pro that will come out of this is I think he will be really a really key part in connecting with like Daniel Shalloway and Johnny Russell up top.
Yeah. So the high bar that he set, it was 10 goals in league play,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
So one goal every three games-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of other people scoring at that time. So, I mean, there was a lot of other stuff, and he didn't really get focused on it first. So he got a lot of goals before he really got focused on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I've always been in that camp that he was good that year. And I was never wanting to pay him a lot because he had not done that well before or, well, since when he went to Kuwait or Qatar or wherever the hell it was.
Qatar.
Qatar.
He was out in Qatar. playing football.
That is how you say it. It is Qatar.
Okay, so it's not Qatar. I'm being so American right now and saying Qatar.
I'm on the same boat there, but it is somehow Qatar is somehow the proper term.
It's actually it depends on which mindset I'm in, like which way I pronounce it that day. So if I'm like total, you know, Missourian hick, I'm like Qatar.
Okay, so I'm just Missouri hick all the time saying Qatar, like
not
a lowbrow.
Everyone always says Qatar.
Thank you guys for making me feel better about it.
But anyway, he scored 16 goals, I think, over two seasons there. Mm-hmm. And he was hurt a little bit, which is par for his course also. And it was a lower league, lower level of competition. Some of the I watched some of the highlights from the games he was in over there, and people were literally scoring goals because the keeper would kick it out to a guy at the top of the box.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes that league looked like a rec league.
Yeah. Some of those guys were, I mean, there was keepers playing in sweats.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of weird being in Qatar, but they were just not good. And so, I mean, I would have actually expected him to score 40 or 50 goals there, mm-hmm. quite honestly. But here's the one difference. Here's what may make all the difference in the world is he's happy to be back here.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy to be in Qatar. He wasn't happy to be in New England. You know, I think he was kind of forced into a situation to go to Qatar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep saying Qatar as many times as
I
can get away
like,
with.
I know. And you're looking at me as you say it.
Sorry, Allie. I will look at you every time I say it. Every time I say Qatar. But anyway, he kind of was, I think, kind of almost was forced into it from a lot of different things happening
right.
there. And he wasn't happy, and he wasn't like, this wasn't a great move, but he probably made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So now maybe he's happy. He's going to be back with his buddy Daniel. And
yeah. No, I mean, I think that's a really good point. The fact that he's happy to be here. Obviously, everyone performs better in a setting in which they are happy to be in, a place they're happy to be in. Not to mention he's coming back to a Pinnacle Training Center, not bad digs over there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be great. And you can just tell that he has a really good, strong relationship with Peter, and Peter is also happy, which we know, like it was said time and time again at the press conference, and I think everyone would agree, it's like Peter wasn't just going to get any striker. It had to be a right fit for the team, for him, for the club, for the future of the club. So I think it makes sense.
It's so just, is he the right fit?
He can play number nine.
He can play number nine.
So, yeah.
I think in the sense that I don't think that they need a number nine who's like the lone goal scorer. So in that sense, I think he's the right fit because he's just supplementing the attack what I see. So it's not like we don't have guys who can't score. It's just he's going to bring in more creativity, more options.
So here's my thing with that. I do get that that's the legitimate question. You know, he always looked the best or whatever on the wing. But we've seen this team a lot this year. Like I think the last game we were watching Rubio and Shallowy switch.
Yeah.
Like they do. They're pretty fluid up there. They mm-hmm. like to try different things and throw off defenders. And so yes, in that regard I do. I think it's perfect that if something isn't working then he can just fade out wide and Russell can try in the middle or Shallowy can try in the middle for a minute.
Oh yeah, that I have actually no concern about at all. I think where I'm going back to is for a good chunk of this year, we talked about how Kyrie was the perfect number nine for this team, other than the fact he didn't put a ball in the back of the net more often, right? Because he was tracking back and so defensive oriented. And, you know, you'd see him back outside the Sporting's 18, getting a ball and playing it up and making that big run up. I don't remember Nemo being that defensive oriented.
Right.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but if he's going to have even remotely the amount of defensive responsibility that Dom had, Rubio had, Kyrie had, he's going to be less effective than what some people may think he's going to be. Is that a valid question? I mean, that's my concern with that.
No, I would agree with that because I think that it's been pretty obvious since Kyrie got injured that I think people were appreciating more of what he had been doing out on the field, even though it didn't show necessarily on the stat sheet with goals or even assists, really. But yeah, no, I think that's a valid question. Is he going to be able to, because, you know, he didn't play number nine, that role for when he was with Sporting in 2015. So it's going to you know, they, I guess he's going to be answering the question, is he going to...
The thing that I like to bring up for that is he did play a couple of times, or one time at least, in the center forward spot.
It was a couple times.
The one time I'm thinking of, he came off the bench, and it was a game, it was just interesting. All of this is, like, very interesting to me. It was a game where Dom was also on the bench. I don't know what exactly was going on. I think he was maybe coming back from injury or something. But they needed a goal. We were playing Portland. It was at Portland. And they needed a goal. And with Namath and Dwyer both on the bench, Vermees brought in Namath. And it was like, you know, the first time that he was like, you know, hey, I'm going to try him at center forward. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? He scored the goal of the year.
And he did it from middle of the field, too. Yeah, exactly, he picked up the ball there and dribbled through.
That almost makes me wonder more, what does Peter tell these guys going in those situations? Because Diego Rubio obviously has been able to take whatever that little message is on the sideline to go in and do and lights that fire because...
There's a valid point there. I mean, hey.
Now, I know both these guys would truly hate me saying this, but I would actually love to see Namath start, Rubio come off the bench in the 65th minute. Rubio start, Namath come off the bench in the 60th minute. Something along that line, mm-hmm. alternate games. They get a game of rhythm in there, essentially. But you got a fresh guy coming off the bench running at, you know, tired defenders. Mm-hmm. And because I don't think either one of them, and this will be the other question about Namath too, is he's probably not anywhere close to 90-minute game fit because he hasn't played 90 minutes in forever.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's the other thing that I'm wondering personally. It's like, is he going to be able to come on as, you know, and start at that in that position with, you know, say he's got Shallowy on the left. I don't know if Johnny will be ready or not, but say Johnny or Gerso on his other side. Are fans really going to see, like, this influx of goals all of a sudden? Yeah. And I think there's this perception, and I mean, that's just... I think the hard thing with this role that's being filled, it's like there's a very high expectation because the need for that player to come in and the want has been there for so long that it's like the bar for that position is set so high.
No doubt on that. People are expecting it to be something that it probably never could have been.
Right.
So it's almost doomed to fail in that regard, that it's not going to meet at least some people's expectations.
Right.
Now, maybe it does. I mean, maybe him and Shallowy and Russell and Gerso and Felipe, because this is the nice thing now from my perspective. Because I'm trying to play both sides of everything because I'm going to try to look at different things. But the nice thing now is when we went to play Atlanta, you know, there's this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy, and you're just listing off player after player. When we go play LA FC, there's player after player after player after player that we're like, oh, my God, they got – forwards and wingers and midfielders.
Oh my!
Now when somebody is playing Sporting, it's not like, oh, they don't have a number nine, they don't have a center forward that we have to worry about. Now, at least in theory, you have multiple wingers, multiple center forwards, multiple midfielders that can all score.
Mm-hmm.
And the other teams will have to at least be worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really think it's the signing is more of a supplement to the attack. It's not the answer to the attack, which I think is going to have to be the mindset when you look at it. It's not that this was the answer to anything. It's just another piece of it.
It's hard to say that the team is not better with him, right? I suppose you could say that he might not score goals at the same rate, but you still have to think at this point with Shelton out, and not that he scored a lot of goals, but with Shelton out, and I mean, you have to think that there's more goals in him than what we've been putting up.
Yeah.
True, but all the parts don't add up to be a greater total. I mean, even though you think they should, right? And we discussed this all year with Kyrie, how defensive he was and how much he contributed to the overall performance, right? When the beginning of the year when they were giving up a bunch of goals, and then now they've given up some goals more when Kyrie's been out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some other factors in there too, Felipe and Madranda, and there's lots of factors in there. But so I don't want to put it all on Kyrie, but if Namath comes in and scores a goal every other game, but they give up two goals every game, you know, they don't have that defensive presence. And I can't say the team is better yet. In theory, yes, the team has a lot better offense. I mean, he should be able to combine better. He was so deadly shooting, you know, the
Hungarian hammer. It's the strike.
You know, the first seven shots on goal that in 2015 were goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. He was pretty deadly. If he could put on goal, it was, you know, pretty dangerous shot.
I don't understand that stat. I mean, so the other shots he took during that run of seven were 20 feet away from the goal, but that doesn't matter, right?
There wasn't a whole lot of them.
Okay, I remember during that run-up, they kept touting that stat, and I'm like, okay, so he took some other bad shots, but we're not counting those?
Yeah, but
no, they just weren't on goal, Cody. Which I do think that's funny. Like, I mean, I get it that there are going to be, you know, that you need to break it up between shots and shots on goal. Yeah. But there are some shots that are probably just considered shots and not on goal that were probably intended to be on goal.
Yeah, exactly.
That were just bad, but we'll give it to him.
I think all shots are intended to be on goal.
Well, exactly. So why split them up? And
that's why it's a weird stat. I mean, I don't disagree with that. It's like you keep it for keepers, right? It like keeps track of, like, it helps in that regard as well. But yeah. Then, I mean, and if we're looking at it in that way,
the trees don't have to make saves on the shots that are not on goal.
That's right. That's why they do it for you, Cody.
If we're looking at how accurate a shooter is, how many times they shot it on goal,
right,
just immediately eliminates all of their worst shots. I don't get it. Like, all right. Anyway.
So how many shots did he have?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Don't ask me that. I'm stats and info, but there's a lot going on here right now.
Are you watching the game?
Yeah. We're not there yet. It's almost over. Oh, goals were happening though.
I know.
Let's talk about the other signing. Oh, wait, no. I wanted to also mention we do think Namath's contract goes through next year, right?
Yes. But we it goes through next year, but we're not sure if that's an option or a straight through next year. Yeah, I mean,
but so the one thing I'm referring to, the Star said contract through 2019 season, and if it was an option, I feel as though it would have said with an option.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I've asked somebody on the staff at Sporting, and they didn't know. So,
okay, well,
didn't think to ask Peter that today.
That is something to think about throughout this year, because if he is only going to put up a handful of goals, then being on the hook for like about $1 million for him next year is going to be notable.
And that's, again, something we don't know because of the way contracts can be set up and transfer fees and all that stuff. We don't know how much he's actually is per this year versus next year. We think it's $1 million for this year and then been prorated. We'll find that out, I think, sometime here in the near future.
Fingers crossed today. That's a club option.
Hey, if he scores 10 goals this year, is he worth $1 million next year?
In half a season, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 100,000 for each goal.
Oh my gosh, if he scores 10 goals, this is going to be great.
As long as everybody else scores too.
Yeah.
Right, and as long as the defense steps up. And we just found some reinforcements in that front.
Yeah, maybe.
Perhaps. Of course.
Thad's not excited.
Of course Thad gives me the meh. Of course.
Don't I have to?
You can never let me get excited about something.
No, you can be excited.
We sat in this podcast and we're like, oh, what should we worry more about? Or what are we going to be more disappointed about if we don't get a striker, if we don't get a defender? And look, they got both of them.
Best of both worlds.
Meh.
I know, but
now you're just doing it to be annoying.
There is an argument for meh on both sides, I guess. But yeah, they did bring in reinforcements.
They did, and they absolutely did. Now, again, we don't know that Namath is the answer for the attack. Not that we needed an answer as a supplement, right? You know, on pace to potentially score more than the team's ever scored before. So
yeah,
without Namath, so it could be a really great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, though, this guy has a ton of.
Andreu Fontas.
Yes.
Do I sing my song?
Ali cannot hear his last name without thinking of her favorite.
Fontas, don't you want to Fontas? Like, you know the soda? And Bob didn't know Fanta. What I was talking. Fanta. Why can't I pronounce anything?
You say Fanta, right?
It's Fanta.
I get we
like
say.
Like a Fanta orange soda.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that, but I don't know the song.
Like, have you ever seen a commercial? It's like, Fanta, Fanta, don't you want a Fanta, Fanta, don't you want a... And it's like all these people. It's like very colorful and fun. Guess not. Okay, just... Just
brightly
me.
Colored bikinis is like what I remember from that. It was like
we remember very different things.
Girls in bikinis, wasn't it? That's all those Fanta commercials were, I think.
I remember skateboards. I don't know why.
Obviously, anyway. You guys have
girl brain,
points of view.
Boy anyway, brain.
Andreu Fontas, more Garber bucks spent on him.
Yes,
and he is signed through the 2022 season, but we won't know how much he makes until next year.
Maybe sooner. But anyway, yeah, he has a great resume. You know, Barcelona Academy. Actually, you know, handful of games with Barcelona. Actually mm-hmm. been on the field with Messi.
Scored a goal for Barcelona in the Champions League.
Then went to Celta Vigo and, you know, did well there. Got a, you know, helped them to Europa League and did fairly
scored
well there.
Scored a goal in Europa League.
So. Yeah, because I think he had, what, three goals? He has three career goals.
Something
and
like that.
Yeah, they're very impressive.
So yeah, I mean,
he's
like,
the rare goal, but yeah.
Yeah, but for a defender, we're not asking much.
There were even a couple assists in there somewhere. Well, yes, he was. He was key in Celta Vigo's rise among the ranks in La Liga, and now they're a solid middle of the table team. But. He injured his Achilles and has struggled to stay on the field consistently since then.
Completely true.
Are we worried about that?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was still, he was even dealing with this into last year and missed part of the season and then came back and then played one. He was taken off the injury report, was in the roster in the 18 and only made one appearance in the last, like, 10 games of the season last year.
Yeah, it may be because he wasn't 90-minute game fit sort of thing. You know, I mean, Peter's not going to – he might have a center back on the bench that can come in and play when somebody gets hurt, but he's not going to have a guy starting that can't go the whole game, which is will be the question with him. He hasn't played an entire game for a long time. So here's a lot of my concerns, okay? One is the injury history. Two, even when Peter was saying about how – they've signed him and the deal isn't done until the ITC comes through, the visa comes through, and his physical is passed. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not often not mentioned the physical being passed. This one, it was very well mentioned that the physical has to be passed. Okay. So maybe they're worried about that nagging.
There was
Achilles.
Some emphasis on the, physical aspect
yeah.
of this.
Yeah. It wasn't like a huge emphasis, but it was clearly made sure that he had, in fact, that was the very first thing when I asked him about what was still, you know, remaining to make this a done thing was the physical has to be passed and the paperwork has to come through.
Oh yeah. See, there's something to that. The physical being passed is always a nonsense part of it. An afterthought.
So that's a little bit of a worry. Again, I don't want to make it a big deal, but he still has to get his visa, which could be another week or two, and the ITC, which that seemed weird that was even mentioned as an issue, because that's just like another thing. That's just paperwork that has to happen. When I said, well, that's just a normal thing, right? I mean, two
right.
soccer leagues, it's not really a big deal unless you're talking about some of those little podunk leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, it still has to be done. So it just seemed like there's lots of
little minutia,
little things that he was concerned about happening. So all of that, then even if he shows up tomorrow and even if he passes his physical tomorrow, is he ready to play 70, 80, 90 minutes of an MLS game, which is what it needs to be a center back, to be a starting center back for replacing Ike or Bees. He could end up on the bench and getting 20 or 30 minutes and like letting them have a little rest, but not, he wouldn't be ready to start right away. I couldn't imagine he would be ready to start right away. Maybe he would be, but.
No, I mean, I would agree with you on that. I don't even think that's like the intent in the,
right.
for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
but that is kind of the problem, though.
I agree, but I feel like that's not even the thought for the rest of the season. Probably looking towards that more like next season and kind of seeing how this one, which is kind of a scary thought considering how the defense has been performing, the soft goals, this, yeah, that, the other.
He's reinforcements, but it's definitely a risk.
Like, yeah.
He could end up not being here very long.
He could be the starting guy next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would worry about relying on him being... So everybody, like, oh, we got the defensive backup that everybody needed.
But...
but no, not really. We don't know that yet.
Well, so now everyone can get a little view into Peter Vermes' world here on... Everyone's down his throat to just sign someone, like, just freaking get it done, just do something. We need someone, anyone. But then it's like, real life, all right, now we have to pay this guy a lot of money and he could end up not being
right.
anything.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the case. I mean, you always run a risk every time you sign a player because maybe they come in and they don't like the city. Maybe their wife don't like the city. Mm-hmm. Maybe they stub their toe and they never play again. Justin Mapp.
Endless number of.
Right.
Yeah.
There's all these things that it could happen. And it does. I mean, guys come in and get hurt. You know, I mean, potentially the best player Sporting Kansas City has ever signed in their entire history plays 6 games and goes out with a hernia-like condition shortly hernia-like. After his wife arrives. So, I mean, you never know. Anything could happen. So, I mean, he could be perfectly fine and come in and, you know, twist something and be out for the rest of the season anyway. I just worry because of all these other things. I'm not saying he's not going to be good. I think he could be really good.
Well, I'm going to flip it for – I'm going to be the positive one here. I agree. I don't think that he's ready to start. I don't think he's game fit to play 60 to 70 minutes. But if he's fit to come in as an option potentially at half, if not maybe 65, 60 minutes, I'm excited because that Barcelona connection with Ilya and now that Lobato's back. Obviously, Ilya and Lobato are very key in the defense. So to have three players who – understand one another, have come through the same kind of system, have played in that Barcelona system one way or the other, are going to be crucial in moving the ball forward, getting up to the Hungarians. it's a whole
yeah, who have their own cohesiveness,
yeah,
up there.
They've got their own thing and it's all then everyone else, the Americans are, I'm kidding, but right. I just think that Ilya, I'm excited to see what's there between the two of them, and then with Lobato coming back. You know, even though, I mean, Lobato doesn't typically start in that right or left back position, but seeing how the three of them could potentially play as a triangle moving up out of the back, I don't know.
No,
I think it'll be nice.
I completely agree. That is the part of it that I really love. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I mean, that's like probably one of the only.
Because supposedly him and Ilya helped Barca B get promoted to the second uh-huh. division in La Liga. You know, you got Lobato there who can play left back. And like you said, you could have that little triangle there working their way up to the Hungarians or the Chileans or the Academians. No.
Yeah. they deserve their own.
The North Carolinians.
Yeah.
North Carolinians.
Carolinians.
There you go. On the last one, I think yeah. you got it.
Cutter.
I was just about to say Qatar.
So, that does excite me that those, you know, they're getting talent from that level.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy is a risk, and I just don't know how much he'll contribute this year.
Yeah. I wonder. I always wonder about their transfers like this. I know Sporting does send a team overseas to scout players and watch players. Do we think Vermes saw him play in person ever?
I would bet yes.
Okay. In years past, probably.
Yeah, I mean, probably not this year. But,
yeah.
Plus, the nice thing is, I mean, La Liga's on TV every weekend, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was sitting there looking through some of the games he's played in because my daughter, like, loves Messi, of course, which, you know, who doesn't? And I was just looking through some of the games. I'm like, see, that's a game he started that Messi played in, and that's a game he started that he played against Messi. He's like, okay, cool.
Okay, well.
There's some exciting.
I do have some time set aside for us to talk shit on Houston and and Albert Ellis.
Ugh.
But we should, and like on along those lines, Houston is currently playing LAFC as we record, and they were winning until the 90th minute. LAFC leveled in stoppage time.
Who scored? Or should
Rossi.
We not say that?
Rossi's got a hat trick.
Ah, but my guy helped him. He got an assist.
Who's your guy?
Latif.
Isn't this what a perfect segue? Our last opponent is playing our next opponent.
I know. We should be watching this.
Beautiful.
I was pulling it up on my phone as Allie noticed the score.
Well, I I was peeping.
So, the Houston game. Segueing back to our segue.
Yeah.
That was
that
not
was...
pretty but effective.
Well,
not pretty but effective, but also not very reassuring in my eyes going forward.
Okay.
So, rivalry game, they grinded it out.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with that at the moment. I mean, I hate to like do that, like the losing streak or the non-winning streak broken. And I know everybody expects as soon as you go a man up, you should be like pouring in goals, but A, it's not always easy. B, Houston's really good at bunkering in. I mean, that's what they do half the time anyway. C, on the road. D, with no Espinoza in the lineup. E, with a 16-year-old starting.
Okay, but we can't use that as a... If it's Peter Vermes' man of the match who assisted the only goal, I'm not going to even consider that an Achilles heel for the team.
True that.
That game.
No, I'm not going quite there, but he is a 16-year-old, started the game and played the entire, or most of the game. Did he play the entire game?
Yeah.
He did well. But, again, the bar for man of the match may have been lowered by the fact the rest of the people didn't show up.
Which is why I say not reassuring.
Right.
I guess. I thought that Felipe, at one point, literally watching the game, because I did the recap, at one point watching the game, I saw him and I go, oh my gosh, I literally forgot that he was on the field.
I know.
And I was like, wait, who is? And then I was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that he was out there. Yeah. Shallowy was, I don't know what he was trying to do offensively there. He was disappearing. He was not doing his typical, like, making the really, like, crafty, creative play, or he just wasn't really doing what he typically does up in and around the box to be dangerous. He wasn't putting himself in good positions to be dangerous. He was losing the ball in very... If Sporting gives up soft goals, like Peter Vermes describes them to FC Dallas, and Shally was giving up soft offensive...
Attempts
yeah. or runs or yeah. whatever that was going on.
And I think in a future podcast, we're really going to have to discuss, is Felipe really as good as what everybody thought he was?
I don't think we need to question that yet.
Yeah. But that's why you said future podcasts.
I said future podcasts.
We need some more assessment.
We do need more assessment, but I think the question is already there. He scored a lot of goals early.
I don't even think about the goals. When I think of his time, I don't even like think like, oh yeah, we need him back and to score all of our goals.
I do.
I think of him as just like the engine.
Which, again, he's coming off the injury, but we still haven't seen but very little glimpses of his best.
Yeah.
But even when he was at his best, that's when Sporting was giving up a bunch of goals at the beginning of the year. So there's that question, because he's going so far forward and that's pulling Ilya up a little bit and some other factors that are all happening, which that's why I say we need to discuss that in a future podcast. We need, a couple more games to see whether that's changing or not. But
And now with the addition of Namath, it's going to be interesting to see, too, how, you know, maybe Felipe won't be getting as high up with Namath in that position. I don't know how that will affect the spacing, at least on the field, or where guys are in their positions. But
so back to Houston, though.
Back to Houston.
Do we hate Houston much?
Yes. Agreed. Yeah. Plus one.
Yeah, I think we do. It's official.
4 red cards. 3 in the game and the coach.
It's officially not a red card on the coach.
And then at one point in the broadcast, the ref went over and was yelling at the fans for throwing something. And he was like, I don't even remember who was announcing, but they was like, he's about to have to red card the fans.
Yeah.
Is that even legal?
They can kick fans out, but I think they can also...
I don't think the ref is the one who... If I were a ref, I just know myself. I feel like I would get so... Like, people are throwing things at you. It's so, like... The emotion is running so high. I would have just been like,
"Yeah."
I would have taken every card I had and just thrown it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to like flip off the fans, but you can casually just, like, throw them that red card.
I wish that he had. I think that if there was any game where that would have been acceptable and people would have been like, I get it. I get why he did that. Yeah. It would have been that game.
Yeah,
I've seen fans on side of youth games get red carded. So,
well, that's
well,
good.
As they should 90% of the time.
Yeah, I totally agree on that.
That's why I stopped reffing was youth parents.
I had youth parents when I was 14 years old coaching at a camp. It was literally a summer camp. There was these these little games that we'd put together at night. They meant nothing. It was a camp that kids went to. And I would have parents come up to me and say, you know, Jake doesn't play goalie. And I was like, well, Jake scored 17 goals tonight. So Jake's getting his butt in goal. And I was 14. And I'm like, you're what, 38? And you're over here telling me how your 7-year-old kid is... needs every opportunity he can get to start working towards that Duke scholarship. let them have fun. Parents, let the kids have fun.
Overseas, aren't parents not allowed at a lot of youth games and high school games?
I don't know how much they even play it in high school over there, but...
I've been told that oftentimes parents are not allowed at some of these youth games.
I've heard that, too. It just depends on the country and the league and such forth. Truly, I have hated some of the parents on my daughter's teams. I went and stood with the other team's parents sometimes because they sucked.
Yeah, I'm 23 years old now. My mom and I and my dad still reminisce on some of those just awful parents, families that you either had to play with or against growing up. I'm sure everyone who played competitive soccer growing up or not competitive. That's the thing. It's it really doesn't even matter what level it was.
Exactly.
There are those shining moments in everyone's career.
I think I may have told this story back when we first got started doing some of these podcasts, so I apologize if this is a repeat. But one of my daughter's coaches in the club had a very high-level team. They were at a big tournament where, there's college scouts there looking at them and such forth.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the parents started... yelling at refs and being generally obnoxious, and the college scout walked over and says, I'm done. I will not scout anybody from this team. You have just lost every one of your kids a potential scholarship.
Wow.
Dang.
So
good for him, too.
He told the coach that. He didn't tell the parents that directly.
Right.
But yeah. So,
but still, though, I feel like most of the time his scout would just be like, oh, these people are the worst, and kind of walk away. But
yeah.
I think that's an important thing to remember. It's you are representing your child just as much as they are representing, I don't know, you in a way, although that shouldn't be the focus, but parents take it upon themselves to do so.
So, Houston fans, you are representing your parents poorly.
Yes. How dare you? Your mother would be so disappointed if she knew of the popcorn that you were throwing on the field Saturday night.
We are disappointed in you.
Very play, cool. Oh my God. I play my audio clip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. So, is that enough time on Houston? That's a game feels like a long time ago now.
Yeah, I don't even remember what all the red cards were now. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Elbow to Tim. What was the first one? Oh, yeah.
See, again, I'm not.
The shoulder to Busio.
The whiplash that poor Busio experienced in that.
I'm not convinced that the elbow tap of Melia's head was for sure where that red
card
came
from. Yeah, I don't
know
either.
He should have been off the field
twice already.
Yeah, three occasions before that. He should be so embarrassed looking at that game. I think of this all the time, and I don't understand how these players keep acting like this, how they keep feigning injuries and, don't you know we can see you? Everyone can see you.
I think that's the point for them.
They get an advantage from it. So as long as they get some kind of advantage from it, whole faking injury thing, as long as they get some kind of advantage from it, the dives, the time wasting and all that stuff.
I understand that it can work every now and then, but even on the times that it does work, aren't these men, there's a real person that has to go and then face other men who compete with him. Don't other people make fun of him?
They should. I agree with that. Okay. I mean, I would be completely embarrassed to do what a lot of these people do. Okay. Have I ever went down slightly easier than I was tackled? Yes. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But,
okay. I never feigned an injury or I never just dove or any of that sort of thing. And anytime anybody did that in front of me, I said, you do it again, I'm going to hurt you. I will take the real red card at that point. So it just pisses me off that they do that. It's not, it shouldn't be part of the game. And every time I hate it, but it's the, that is still why they do it. They have no shame. It's, you know,
well, but that's my, I understand why they're doing it, but it's, I wouldn't be able to handle the shame afterwards. And just knowing that everyone,
even when you win an MLS Cup because of a dive that
so in finals and
I'm not saying it's
and,
right.
In games like that, I can see it more. I remember having to explain all of the time wasting and all of that that was going on, like in like one of the World Cup games, to some of my non-soccer people. I'm like, you know, in these games, everyone gets the desperation levels are you know, all of this is amplified more in these situations. So in a final, I get it. Yeah. Do your thing, I guess. But I don't know. There's just so much of this. I'm like, how do his teammates like not destroy him after the game for that?
But we don't know that.
Because they do it too.
Ugh.
Houston, there are, and you can see there's teams that do it more than others. Okay. Every team does some time wasting. Don't get me wrong. Even Sporting does some time wasting, although mm-hmm. it's much less degree than most teams, I would think, in my opinion. Of course, maybe I've got, you know, blinders on, but
Houston would disagree with Ike when Ike went down, but they don't know that he was nursing an injury that he was holding. Now, we don't know that Ike didn't use that as an opportunity to like, oh no, I've had an injury with this, I can stay down for an extra second.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. This Sporting does, it's clear to me that they do it less than a lot of other teams.
You know, like Tim almost never does time wasting until like right at the end of the game. Okay. I've never seen him do time wasting in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Dallas, Houston, Colorado.
Tim's pretty good about that, I would say.
But that's also part of Vermees. I mean, he doesn't want that. He wants them to play. I mean, to me, I've never understood, and this goes back to Dallas. I mean, I've never understood why any little kid growing up, you know, they have the aspiration to go stand in this nice, mm-hmm. beautiful stadium on this beautiful pitch, have being at the peak of their athletic ability and not play a game.
Right.
I'm just going to come out here and roll around on the ground and waste time. No, I'd rather go compete against your ass and see if I can get the ball from you and score.
There you go.
Also,
you're a better man than most, Thad.
Another point, too, it's like this is, like you said, this is the peak of, you know, in terms of American soccer, it's like the highest possible level you can get to. You play, you work your whole life to get there. You don't think that you have the ability to just freaking keep playing those extra seconds that you're going to try to waste, like that you couldn't play to the level to help your team win the game.
I so love it when a team wastes time early in the game and then the fortunes turn, the score is reversed, and all of a sudden at the other end of the game, they're like, they're wasting time. Come on, ref. And they need those extra minutes that they wasted earlier.
Yeah, that could have resulted in a goal or two. You never know.
So, I mean, that happened to in one of the games with Dallas last year, if I remember right. They were time-wasting really early, and they were mad that they didn't, you know, Sporting wasted a couple minutes at the end. So, anyway.
This has been a public service announcement. Do not waste time, no matter the level you're at. Don't do it.
Yeah. Now the little, like, you know, you pick the ball up to throw it in and it's not your throw in and you drop the ball away from the guy. I get that. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. But some of the stuff that they do is just incredibly. We should move on to the next game because I could probably rant about this for a while.
Yeah, I was going to let you finish that one thought and then I was pounding the gavel to move on.
I did it myself.
To LAFC. Benny and our boys, Benny and Latif.
Benny.
Plus a whole bunch of other scary attacking players. Plus, they just signed Christian Ramirez. And then I just learned Josh. Wait, that's not right. They just signed two players named Ramirez. That can't be right.
They traded for Christian Ramirez from Minnesota for like $1 million.
Oh, Josh Perez. I wrote down two Ramirez's. Oh, that's fun. So yes, Christian Ramirez and Josh Perez, who is from Fiorentina. So their attacking core got even better.
Yeah, so they already had like six really good attackers, attackers, and their LAFC fans are actually jealous that we got a defender today. So
yes,
that may or may not play.
They didn't bring in any defensive reinforcements, despite everyone's mad at all the goals we've been conceding. They've conceded seven more.
Exactly.
So stop being snotty, Sporting KC fans.
What? Do you think Sporting fans are entitled entitled and snotty and...
We can be pretty entitled.
Wait, I bet you covered this in the last podcast, didn't you?
I don't know. It's kind of the team's fault, though. If the team is going to keep talking like that and promising trophies and making the "we're not done yet" ads, you're going to get these, like, cranky 15-year-old fans that are...
Who are 45.
Cranky 15-year-old
Who are 45, yes, exactly.
I can, like, picture exactly that person that you're illustrating.
No, come on. In fairness, they're going to say they're always going for trophies. They're going to go for every trophy. I mean, it's not like... Even the bad teams don't come out and say, "Oh, we're going to totally sacrifice the Open Cup because we're not going to be able to compete in it." I mean, you know, right. So then Sporting does try to go for all of them, and you can tell by the lineups Peter puts out. They do go for all of them. They don't always succeed. I mean, that's sports, though. That sometimes bums me out about fans more than almost anything is, okay, yes, it's about what your team does, but there's 10, 20, 30 other teams out there, depending on what sport and what league you're in. They're all trying to do the same thing. They're all competing against you.
That you can do everything you want to do over here, but it might be irrelevant.
You know, one injury can make all the difference in the world, you know? And these stupid expansion teams that have all the freaking advantages at this point.
Yeah.
Speaking of expansion teams.
LA.
LAFC. no defensive reinforcements, but I like Walker Zimmerman is very good, and Laurent Simon is very good as well.
He literally just grew a mustache and a brave fell out of the sky as you said that.
Right.
And a cigarette, too.
Felt good.
And a cigarette.
Felt good. I went for it.
No, Zimmerman, I think, is really good. Simon, I mean, I think he shows flashes of being really good. He's also showed some, like, weird moments of...
Well, he's getting older, isn't he? I feel like he's old now.
I don't know. I've never been invited to his birthday party.
My keyboard's too far away. But I'm watching. I brought it up on my phone. They're 3-3 in the 103rd minute in the Open Cup game, and I'm watching Latif run around like a crazy man. So that bodes well for this weekend.
Make him tired.
Yeah, but they have so many attackers that they could not play him at all, and they still have they'll have fresh legs.
But here's my question. So. Both teams, although Sporting did just sign a defender who isn't much help, really, at least for this weekend and probably the rest of the year, with both teams having added on some offensive help and both teams struggling a little bit defensively.
We're going to have a shootout.
Who is our attack enough to outdo their attack if both defenses aren't up to the levels that they need to be? In this game, or if there are some soft goals being let in on the Sporting KC side.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch, at least.
Of course, this would be one of those games you expect to, like, be, you know, 4-4, and it ends up being 0-0 at the end with, like, one shot on goal.
A gritty defensive duel.
I mean, yeah.
Because that's what Sporting always does.
They are very contrarian. I think we've mentioned that once or twice.
Contrarian. Before. Sporting weird.
But...
Hashtag Sporting weird.
I would love to see them go in there and score 3 or 4 goals on LA.
I don't think their defense is that bad. I was very surprised to hear that they've conceded that many. Beta Shore is really good, too, as an outside back. I don't know who their other outside back is, but...
I think, and we can point to how Sporting goes and some other teams go, too, but some teams... In a lot of cases, when you have a very offensive team, you don't have a great defensive team because everybody's going forward, which leaves gaps for people to counter or, you know, to build up in between the lines and, you know, make a good play. So that when Sporting has been scoring a lot at the beginning of the year, they were giving up a lot of goals. When they tightened it up, the goal scoring went down. Again, we can analyze and talk about this for about the 100th time.
It's almost like you can't be perfect.
Almost can be.
Shocking.
Even Atlanta United.
Yeah. Although their fans think that they are.
Well, they invented soccer after Seattle invented it, after Toronto invented it.
I bet you could find one person in that stadium among their 70,000 fans they get that would believe that soccer was invented in Atlanta. And then Joseph Martinez.
It is wild, though. You can't deny 70,000 is a...
Yeah, they're doing... Yeah, good for them. That's great for the league.
It's It's good, and I mean, I hope they continue it, quite honestly. I mean, I was one of the ones that had doubts that they would, so mm-hmm. more power to them in that regard. But
oh, it'll have to continue after this initial burst of funds that they injected into the team. It's if they can keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm waiting for their first 3 month span of bad play and see how many tens of thousands no longer come to those games.
See if they can keep their players away from their other players' wives.
No. That too.
I almost forgot about all that. Yeah. Well, and now with the Falcons getting started back up, does that help or hurt?
I don't know. Either, because I really don't know. I mean,
depends on how good the Falcons are doing, probably.
If that is somebody true. In this room only knew something about the NFL.
Yeah.
we should call Arrowhead Pride and see if they could send over a...
yeah, our friends over at Arrowhead Pride. If only they were... could befriend some of them.
We're here to talk about soccer. That was not my question. It was more of if the Falcons do well this year.
Okay, nothing left on my outline. My
Did we
docket.
Talk about everything?
There was a lot to talk about.
Two new players. Recap Houston. Preview LA. It was a very loose preview, but we did it, kind of.
Yeah. I was going to try to cut out audio from what Peter said today, but I did not have time. But I asked him... You know, he said, yeah, they have lots of good attacking players, blah, blah, blah. I asked about, you know, does it matter that Benny and Latif are there? And he's like, he goes, at this point in the season, everybody pretty much knows what you're doing anyway, so that doesn't matter.
No, that's true.
He wasn't going to use that as an excuse, and we'll see who plays. Who do you think starts?
Ooh. Yeah,
that was our next is, I assume Nemo doesn't get the nod in the starting 11 immediately, does he?
I disagree. I think he will.
I mean, I hope he does. Is Russell fit yet?
He's practicing this week. So he could play. I would almost bet he doesn't start, though, just because he hasn't played for 2 weeks.
Which is why I think
Nemo then there's
starts.
Room for Nemo on the wing, then. And Rubio can get another start.
I would still think Daniel.
And Gerso.
I almost think Nemo starts, but, you know, it's a 60-minute start. That's like a planned thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Gerso on the wing with Rubio coming in and scoring the game-winning goal because, you know.
That's what he does. No, it's like I almost feel like Peter's going to want to.
Yeah.
He likes to, for some reason, light a fire under Diego Rubio's butt.
Keep riding that train if it's going to work.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. As I was saying earlier, I would almost love to see like Nemo start, Rubio come in, Rubio start, Nemo come in, and just kind of rotate through. And I know he probably won't do that, but I would seriously tell these mm-hmm. guys. I said we're trying to keep you fresh. We're trying to keep you know the other teams off balance and that. You know, it's not one over the other. Mm-hmm. And now if Nemo comes in and scores two goals a game, then
that's right.
Or vice versa. But
well, I think we kind of know what we're gonna get so far, unless Rubio kind of has this like magical end of the season like spurt of goals on goals on goals.
I don't see that happening.
Well, I'm right there with you.
Well, now that his Chilean partner is back, maybe
we'll see. Duos all over the field. Hungarian, Chilean, and I think that's it.
American,
there we go.
Cutter.
And then we got,
Bees and Zeus.
And then
Tim.
Spanish links, Spaniard links.
Yeah. Lobato, Ilya.
And that's it. Yeah, all over the field.
Fontes.
I was right, all over the field.
But one lone Scot.
We can adopt him.
Yeah. Yeah, how long till he can get his green card?
And one lone Gerso.
I feel like that's all Sporting KC does is they use an international slot and then figure out immediately how quick that they can get him a green card.
No doubt.
And then we get screwed in the next expansion draft because of it. Rest in peace, Latif.
How's the game going, by the way?
They're about to start the second period. I can't vamp long enough to end this pod with the end of this game.
Do we? This is actually a serious question. Do we think Latif would have had as good of a season with Sporting if he had stayed?
I don't know. Maybe Bob Bradley has the magic sauce for Latif.
How many has Latif scored?
I don't know. Has he been? Has it been that good of a season?
I don't think it's been that good. But he's competing.
He's
for
progressed.
A little time.
He definitely progressed from where he was at last year.
Well, and I mean, has he scored more than Rubio or Gerso?
I think that's pretty easy to happen.
Yeah.
Though.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying, though.
Because
he has 5 goals this year.
Not counting, I think, a couple or so in Open Cup because.
Yeah.
But he's also got 6 assists.
Yeah. Because they have a really good offense. Because they have a lot of really good offensive players.
It says he only scored in Open Cup goals for us. 3 Open
correct.
Cup goals in 2017, and then it doesn't say anything for this round.
I don't think that's correct.
Okay, fair enough.
Against
that
Dallas.
Game winner.
Was it against Dallas?
I don't know. The one that was
no,
in like
it was, there were two.
Time.
Yeah, and there were two. It was Shallowy and, yeah, it was against Dallas.
Yeah. And Maximiliano lost his damn mind on the call of it.
Yeah. So anyway, it would have been nice to have him as an option as a winger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the occasional forward spot. But
Johnny's better.
Johnny's more polished. But it would have still, I still would have liked to have the options for resting players.
Yeah.
Now, whether Peter uses that option or not, that's another story. But.
Okay. We will gather again, hopefully, next week after facing this tired and currently injured LAFC lineup.
Number 9.
And we've got our number 9.
We've got our number 9 wearing the number 9.
How cheesy was a little video of them delivering
I laughed.
Yeah, but it was so kitman.
I
like,
thought it was perfect.
Yes, it was very fitting. I like it. Okay.
I'm always here for some fresh, fun video content.
Oh yes.
Keep it up.
Weird content.
Should have helped.
Alright, Sporting fam. Until next week.
Woo! Go Cutter!
Skipper has just been sent off. Supporters strong have all gone soft. My foot Boateng's got me drinking. My foot Boateng's got me drinking. My foot Boateng's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood.